Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking lithium mining with Bernard Rowe. He is the president of Ioneer USA Corp. He's here for the whole show from Sydney, Australia, on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
See one of the best-selling country artists of all time, Trace Atkins, live at the Carson Valley Inn, July 2nd and 3rd. Tickets start at $79. Call or go online. Visit CarsonValleyInn.com. Trace Atkins live at CVI, July 2nd and 3rd.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, and all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
See one of the best-selling country artists of all time, Trace Atkins, live at the Carson Valley Inn, July 2nd and 3rd. Tickets start at $79. Call or go online. Visit CarsonValleyInn.com. Trace Atkins live at CVI, July 2nd and 3rd.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Bernard Rowe. He is the USA Corp president of Ioneer. It is a pleasure to have you back on the program, sir, from Sydney, Australia.
That's right, Sam. That's exactly where I am right now, and pleasure to be back on the show.
Thank you. Well, let's start out. You've got a very exciting announcement to make of a contract that you just put together. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, so earlier today we announced a binding offtake agreement with EcoPro Innovation, one of the world's leading cathode makers. Cathode's the part of the battery that has lithium in it, amongst other materials. So EcoPro's a globally significant cathode maker, important supplier into the global lithium battery, ion battery supply chain. Including batteries that get supplied into the United States through SK Innovation and ultimately Ford Motor Company. The announcement that we made today is for 7,000 tonnes of our lithium carbonate production for the first 3 years, which is about a third of our production. We'll go directly to EcoPro. They'll convert it into lithium hydroxide. And that'll then go into batteries that are made by companies like SK Innovation and Samsung.
Okay, and Volkswagen will be a recipient of this as well?
Yes, SK Innovation, one of the battery makers, are supplied to both Ford and also will supply to Volkswagen cars made in the United States in the future, I believe.
All right, so in addition to this, another big announcement for you for the project at Rhyolite Ridge, which is down near Tonopah, is that you got a Class 2 air quality permit for this. So that's another major milestone. Explain for folks watching how big of a deal that is.
It's a very significant step in addition to that offtake that I just mentioned. But there are three key permits for this project, plus many other more minor permits associated with the ultimate full permitting of the project. The air and the water permits are key major permits that are issued by the state, the Environmental Protection Agency, but within the state and the state of Nevada. And then there's also the plan of operation, which is issued by the federal government, the BLM, and Department of Interior. So they're the three key major permits required, and the air is the first one that we've received. So it's a very significant step in the right direction for the permitting of the project. And it's a culmination of, you know, multiple years of work. I mean, we've been working on this project for over 5 years. We've spent in excess of $100 million on it, and that's included 2 years of environmental baseline studies and preparation work that's required in order to apply for and ultimately be awarded these sorts of permits. So it's a very significant step, and we're very pleased that we have received that permit from the state.
We've had people on the program that are associated with the Fernley recycling plant for batteries, lithium batteries, and they were awarded a grant from the Department of Defense as part of their project. And you know, more and more lithium, boron, and these other metals are being required as something as part of national security. Have you had communications with the Department of Defense or others connected to them in terms of the need for having homegrown lithium rather than relying on places like China, which are not secure links?
Yes, absolutely. We have Department of Defense, Department of Energy, Department of the Interior, the White House itself. We have had discussions and on a number of occasions in relation to this project and the important role it will play in the domestic production and safe and environmentally responsible domestic production of lithium, which is essential to national security, to energy security. And I think it's something that the United States really doesn't have a lot of choice about, that the demand for lithium is going to be so significant, not only within the United States, but globally, and that's going to put supply of this material in a critical situation, and it's going to be imperative that there is safe, secure, sustainable domestic production of lithium in the United States. And we've absolutely had those conversations with a number of the government agencies and have got ongoing discussions with them.
You know, there's not much discussion at this point in time, you know, in the media at least, about lithium production. I mean, apart from in the United States, apart from in China, are there other countries around the world that are producing lithium, that there are lithium mines there, or is this mainly at this point the United States?
Now, if you look at if you look at the current situation for lithium production, really there's only two regions of the world that are major producers. Australia, which produces about 50% of the world's lithium, but in Australia, we actually don't make lithium chemicals. We produce a concentrate, a mineral concentrate called spodumene is the mineral, and that's got lithium in it. It's about 6% lithium oxide and about 94% waste. That gets shipped to China for processing and conversion into lithium chemicals. So Australia is an important supplier, but it doesn't currently make the lithium chemicals that are important. China does that with the Australian mineral concentrates. The other region of the world is Chile and Argentina, where they use the more traditional approach or method for extraction of lithium, and that's to pump salty water from the ground, put it into an evaporation pond, evaporate the water, and produce the lithium chemicals in that way. Now, through that process, the refinement of the chemical happens at the site or near the site. So those deposits actually produce lithium chemicals, lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide. So they're the regions, and that process that I've just described for that occurs in Chile and Argentina, that's very similar to what happens at Silver Peak in Esmeralda County, just not far from where our project's located at the Albemarle-owned operation, Silver Peak. It's the only lithium production in the United States currently. But it's very, very small production. So Chile and Argentina, Australia play the world leading roles, but a lot of that chemical gets processed and refined in China and then sold from China to many other countries. The US has less than 1% of world production currently.
So with the great need for lithium, are there other countries that are going to jump into this along the way, or is the United States really the only main player that can come into this?
I think there are other countries. Canada is a country, obviously on the US northern doorstep, that is looking at becoming a producer of lithium. There are other countries around the world that are also looking at producing spodumene concentrates. So no, the US isn't the only one, but I think what is common to most of them is that they have very, very long supply chains. So if the US was to rely on those as the primary sources for their lithium, then you're talking about moving concentrates and moving chemicals all around the world. And that, A, doesn't solve the critical or strategic nature issue, and nor does it actually address the environmental CO2 reduction aspect of these supply chains, because you know moving these products around the world in shipping containers and large ships is a major contributor to CO2 emissions. So it also doesn't deal with that issue.
You know, it's so ironic. You know, there's this battle that's going on between environmental groups who are on one side in favor of reducing the carbon output. On the other side, have problems with, you know, the actual production at the mining sites. We'll get more into that in a couple of minutes. But I mean, it is definitely an irony there. At this point, where are you with site preparation? Have you been able to move forward very much on the site down near Silver Peak?
Yeah, so where our project is at currently, about a year ago, we finished what's called a bankable feasibility study. So that's the engineering study and all the cost estimates that are necessary to secure financing for a project. So we completed that over a year ago. From between the completion of that study and now, we've been focusing on, I guess, three key areas. One is doing the final sort of definitive engineering that you need to do before you actually commence construction. So we've done a lot of that work. So I think by the end of this coming third quarter of the calendar year, September quarter, we will have finished the engineering to a level that would allow us to commence construction. So what we say is we'll be shovel ready from an engineering perspective. With the second part of what we've been doing is on the permitting. So I mentioned those three key permits: air, water, and then the federal BLM permits. So we've been working on completing the remaining work that was required to submit and then process those permits. And as I said earlier, that's been a multi-year process. So it's not something that's happened overnight or in a short time frame. It's 2 years of baseline studies, another year of intensive work and study and investigation, culminating in the processing and hopefully the eventual award of those permits. The third thing that we've been working on over the last 12 months is the financing of the project. And the financing of the project relies on a number of things. It's sort of the equity component of a financing, the debt component, and the offtake that we announced today is a critical part of gaining that finance. So you can sort of wrap those things together. But they're the three areas that we've been working on. We're expecting to have the, as I said, the engineering will be sort of shovel ready within the next 3 or so months. The financing we think will largely have in place by the end of the year. And then on the permitting, we're also hoping that with the others key areas of work completed, that we'll be achieving permitting in towards the end of the year, early into 2022.
All right, so what's it been like working with the state of Nevada? Because I'm presuming that they have a role to play in this as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely they do. So firstly, the air and water permits are issued by the state. So we're involved with the state there. But they play a key role also in the permitting that is done through the Department of the Interior, the Bureau of Land Management. So the state has been excellent to work with. Very supportive of what we're doing, obviously want us to do it in an environmentally responsible and sustainable way, which of course is at the core of the company's philosophy and strategy around developing these types of mineral deposits. So we're perfectly aligned there with the state and the federal government with those objectives. But we've seen very good and strong support from the state. We certainly have very strong local support. The county, Esmeralda County, the local residents of Esmeralda County are also really supportive of the project. It's going to be a major contributor to the economics of Esmeralda County and the state of Nevada. Job creation, rural economic growth, these sorts of things, which obviously are very important to both state and federal governments.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back much more on this project. Lithium, maybe one of the biggest deals that we have to deal with as we move towards this green economy. And we'll be right back after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bernard Rowe. He is the INEA USA Corp president, coming to us from Sydney, Australia this morning as we are taping this. In terms of jobs, how many jobs, once the mine is in operation, are you going to create in Esmeralda County? Because that's a pretty small county population-wise. It's large in area, but small in population.
Yeah, indeed it is. And so during the operational phase, there's a two-year build period, so that's a bit different. But once we're actually in full operation, it's around about 280 or so direct jobs. And probably in the order of indirect jobs, you know, for service industries and other services that need to be supplied, because you're going to have a large number of people working there and a business and a big large processing plant making these lithium chemicals at the site. Then it's probably an extra six or 700 indirect jobs through the county, but 280 to 300 direct jobs at or near the site.
Let me change topics on you. I was curious to read the other day that Panasonic is pulling out of their deal with Tesla. Of course, Panasonic makes batteries in combination with the Gigafactory. Tesla is going to continue to obviously to make batteries for their cars. But did that surprise you?
Yes, it did a little, but I guess they have had been in a partnership for quite some time. I guess things change over time. I think one important thing, though, to note here is that the Japanese and, which Panasonic is a Japanese company, the Japanese and the Korean companies, such as EcoPro that I mentioned earlier, SK Innovation, Samsung, LG Chem, they are playing a very important role in the supply of domestic lithium-ion batteries into the United States. Now, you know, at the moment, what we're seeing is assembly plants for those battery lithium-ion batteries being built in the US. But in the future, we're going to see not only assembly plants, we're going to see manufacturing of cathodes, I believe. We're going to see manufacturing of batteries and the assembly of those battery packs that go into all kinds of electric cars that will be made by General Motors, Ford, Volkswagen, and many others, all within the United States. And, you know, the whole idea of security of supply of critical materials necessary for that to happen is what Rhyolite Ridge is all about, that it allows that raw material to be produced safely, securely, and environmentally responsibly, but very proximal to where ultimately the batteries are going to be made and where they're going to be put into the cars.
It seems as though, if everything goes according to plan, that this is going to end up being a golden age of manufacturing for the United States. Would I be right about that?
Yes, I believe so. I mean, the simple facts are that the United States has the second largest motor vehicle fleet in the world, and that's going to be electrified. And we've just seen in recent months under the new Biden-Harris administration that that's going to happen even faster in the United States than was previously thought. That is going to require an incredible transition in the which will involve the manufacturing of electric vehicles, the manufacturing of batteries, the manufacturing of the components like cathodes that go into those batteries, and the recycling of all that material as well. So yes, I think we are on the precipice of a major industrial change that the US has got a wonderful opportunity to be right in front and center of that change.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food-insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bernard Rowe. He is Ioneer USA Corp President, building the lithium mine down in Esmeralda County. Everybody, I'm sure, at this point in time, especially in Nevada, knows about the conflict over Team's buckwheat. Jerry Team discovered this plant a long time ago. There was great concern about this being wiped out. There was concern that there was, people didn't know what the attack was initially, but it now appears to have been a rodent attack on the plants. You've been working with UNR to figure out a way to preserve them. Part of this answer should bear into the picture that is behind you on the screen. Tell us what the picture is and what it means and what you're doing about Team's buckwheat.
Yes, Sam. So the picture behind me is what we affectionately know as the White Hill. It's where the lithium and boron ore is exposed to the surface. So that's high-grade lithium boron ore, that White Hill behind me with the brown cap on it. There's small buckwheat plants growing towards the base of that hill, which are the small white dark dots that you can see. The relevance of the White Hill is that it often gets used in showing information by us and others around Rhyolite Ridge. That area is, contrary to what some people say, is actually going to be completely preserved through our protection and conservation plans for Teams buckwheat. So there is this misinformation that gets propagated around Teams buckwheat and the Rhyolite Ridge proposed mine development. We are fully committed to conservation and preservation of Teams buckwheat. And the scientific data certainly supports the fact that the plant and our proposed operation can coexist. We are dedicated to ensuring that there is a viable population of Teams buckwheat maintained out at Rhyolite Ridge, and we've designed our operations around that. And so there is no choice of one over the other, like has been purported by some people. They both can coexist. Our operations must ensure that there is a viable population preserved, and any impact that we have on that population has to be mitigated by measures that have been developed by us, the UNR and others, other scientists who are specialists in this field. And we are very, very confident that the two can coexist.
And that's where we have to leave it. You are always welcome back, sir. This is a very exciting project, and congratulations on the announcement this morning. And we look forward to hearing more great news for you as this moves along, because it is, as we've discussed, a matter of national security for the United States. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Sam. A pleasure. Look forward to seeing you again.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny, Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this.
Wow, this stuff is great. People are gonna love it.
Yes. Yes, they will.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.